heard somebody walk in tonight and say that I'm a certain age, and he said, now I've got some wisdom, and as we grow older, we ought to have a little bit of wisdom, amen? And we ought to be using that wisdom. I heard somebody else say that common sense don't matter much anymore, and that may be true, but God's sense matters all the time, and we of all people ought to be able to speak the sense of God into a dark world, a world that's growing darker every day. We ought to be encouraging people to have an ear that would hear. And so I just want to share with you, because it's been some time since we last spoke. But a few weeks ago, and so you're going to have to put your memory caps on. And you know something else about people listening today? People forget 95% of what they hear within 72 hours. And that means that we're not listening very well. And so I hope that we'll retain 95% of what we hear for the next few weeks, because we've got some things coming up in church. But it's been a few weeks. And that from when God spoke to us from His holy word on how to handle temptation, and you may remember the title of that message, How to Handle Temptation. But tonight God wants to drive the point of our thoughts just a little bit deeper. And God wants to ask us a very direct and a very personal question. Where are you tempted? Where are you tempted? Where are you weakest? You have your Bibles open, and I want you to rise as we honor the Lord with the reading of His Word here, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved, what, church? Unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Father, tonight as we come to this verse, as we talk about the seats of temptation, Father, without doubt, because we're human, every one of us has an area in our life where we are particularly tempted. And Lord, I hope that each one of us will allow the Holy Spirit of God to examine our hearts and to point out, maybe we've never thought about it before, but to really draw us into a searching where your Spirit would speak to tell us and teach us where we are tempted. Lord, if you'll do that for us, I'm certain, Father, that we can profit here tonight. And Lord, help us to have a word to be able to take out and to share with others. And Lord, I just pray for your will to be done here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, our text points out a very important truth. Matter of fact, it's a timeless truth, because it's the same for every man in every generation of life. And that truth is you can only be tempted in one of three places. If the question were asked, do you know what your nature is made of, how would you respond? And my hope is that each one of us would respond with what the Bible teaches about our nature. We have a spirit, a soul, and a body. And if we're going to be tempted, we're going to be tempted in one of those three areas. And the Apostle Paul reminds us here in our text to be certain that our whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved, what? Blameless. Blameless when our Lord returns. Now, I don't know about you, but I believe Jesus is going to shout. That trump's going to sound. And in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, you hear me talk about it all the time, the church is going to be raptured. And we ought to be looking for the coming of the Lord at any moment, because it's just around the corner. It could happen right now. It could happen tonight. Are you aware that there is no prophecy that is left to be fulfilled for the church. There's prophecy left to be fulfilled for Israel, but that cannot take place until the Great Tribulation period, and the Bible teaches that we're saved from the wrath to come. And so we know, as we look at the world's condition today, we know that Jesus could return at any moment. Amen? And so we need to be blameless when our Lord returns. What does it mean to be blameless? It means to be confessed up, prayed up, and ready when the Lord returns. And so this verse is speaking of our human nature, spirit, soul, and body. And now what does it mean, spirit, soul, and body? Our God is a triune God. We have God the Father, God the Son, and God the what? Holy Spirit. And the Bible teaches that you and I are made in the image of God. And therefore, it stands to reason, since we are created in the image of God, that we would have our own triune nature, if you will. It's just a faint representation of Almighty God. And so when God speaks to us about the seats of temptation, we need to understand that the first seat of temptation is our body. Now, our body is the most obvious because you can see it. You can't see someone's soul. You can't see someone's spirit, but you can see someone's body. Do you realize our body, if you will, is nothing more than a spacesuit we wear here on planet, so that we can live here on planet Earth? That's all this body is. And the Bible calls our body our earthly house. And in our house, we have a soul and we have a spirit. With our bodies, we have physical life and we know the world beneath us. Plants have a body, but they don't have a spirit or a soul. Animals have a body and a soul, that is conscious life, but they don't have a spirit. Animals cannot commune with God, pray, conceive of eternity, or be redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Only man has a spirit that can be redeemed. That makes us special. That makes every man special. Every man was created in the image of God with a soul that can be redeemed, with a spirit that can be redeemed. How sad then that there are so many men today who reject the cross of Jesus Christ, the only means of redemption. Only man has a spirit that can be redeemed. And when our spirit is right, we are healthy. When our body's right, we're healthy. And when our body isn't right, we're unhealthy. The second seat of temptation is our soul. Now again, inside our body is a soul. In the Greek, the word for soul is psyche. When we get that word anglicized, we get psychic, psychiatry, psychology. Our soul is the psychological part of us that makes up our mind, our emotions, and our will. Our soul is what makes you all the wonderful people that you are, or the wonderful person that you are. It's your sense of humor. It's your intellect. It's your taste. It's your idiosyncrasies. Another word for soul is ego, or self. And the soul is another seat of temptation. With our soul, we have psychological life that enables us to know the world around us and the world within us. When our soul is right, we're happy. When our soul isn't right, we're not happy. And then the third seat of temptation is our spirit. Now, perhaps like a lot of immature and young Christians, perhaps you're of the understanding, or you think that soul and spirit, well, they're the same thing. They're just the invisible part of us. But I want you to note that God's Word teaches that God distinguishes between our soul and our spirit. Remember our text, may your whole soul, spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. And the Word of God to us in Hebrews 4:12 is given to us to remind us, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. So what's the difference? What is the spirit? The spirit is much like the soul in that it is invisible. Spirit and soul are indivisible, but they're not identical. The spirit in man is what makes man different from all of the other creatures. None of the other creatures have a spirit. Only man has a spirit. Because man is made in the image of God, and God is a spirit. The Bible teaches in John 4 and 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in what, church? When we get saved, the Bible teaches in Romans 8 and 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Spirit is that part of our nature that can know God, fellowship with God, and commune with God. With our spirit, we have spiritual life. And we can know the world above us. And when our spirit is right, we are holy. And when our spirit is not right, we are unholy. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it great? We are made in the image of God. And we are made to know three worlds: the physical world, the psychological world, and the spiritual world. Man is the only creature that gets to know the world beneath him, the world within him and around him, and the world up above him. And that's the way God intended for man to be. And when Adam came off the assembly line and God breathed into him the breath of life, he was healthy in his body. He was healthy, happy in his soul. He was holy in his spirit. In other words, he was a whole person. Now, I don't know about you, but most of the people I know, they're unhealthy, or they're unhappy, or they're unholy. And you know why that is? Because all have sinned. We inherited that sin nature from Adam. And the Bible says, by one man, sin entered into the world. And guess what? We all inherited it. And we inherited that sin nature. So all have sinned and come short of the glory of who? There isn't a single person in here, including this preacher, who's a whole person tonight. But when we go home to heaven, we're going to throw off this corruptible body and we're going to get an incorruptible body. And for the first time in our life, we're going to be whole. Say amen. Most people today are out of whack because they are not what God created them to be. Now, let me ask you to look in the mirror or just to begin to think about. Are you what God created you to be? Would God be doing the things that you do? Are you what God created you to be? Now, the reason we're out of whack is because that's what sin has done to us. When the devil comes to tempt us, how does he tempt us? In the body, or in the soul, or in the spirit? God's word teaches those are the only three places you can be tempted, because that's all there is. Where are you tempted? If you don't understand where you're tempted, what are the chances you're going to be able to overcome your temptation? Now, somebody might say, well, I guess it'd be slim and none. Well, that's being way too generous, you see, and that's what man does. We always try to soft pedal the issue, try to soft pedal the problem. But unless you understand and remember that you have three enemies, an unholy trinity that attacks you in a particular part of your nature, And the first of those enemies is our external enemy, this world system. And the world is going to attack you primarily in the area of your soul. Now, what's your soul? It's your ego. It's ourself. It's our mind. It's our emotions. It's our will. Do you know what a worldly Christian is? A worldly Christian is just a person whose emotions, mind, and will have been squeezed into an ungodly world. Now you think about how the world attacks some people. You know there are some people that can't live without the latest new fad. I mean, they might have a perfectly good cell phone or a perfectly good this or that, and as soon as something new comes out, whether they can afford it or not, you know what they got to do? They got to have it. And it makes them feel good about themselves. That's the ego, friend. That's the self. That's our mind. That's how the world system can attack you. Do you realize that most people live on 130% of their income or more? Now, what does that mean? It means that most people in the world are at least 30% in debt to the things that they own. They think they own these things, but the reality is, who owns them? The things that they have. That's what a worldly Christian is. Just a person whose mind, emotions, and will have been squeezed into an ungodly world. Now, the second enemy we have is an internal enemy called our flesh. Now, where does the flesh attack and tempt us? Primarily in the area of our body. Our body is not evil, but the old flesh, it'll tempt us to do evil every time, won't it? The flesh tempts us to do evil things with our body, our physical life, the old flesh. Would tempt us to gluttony, violence, laziness, impurity, perversion, and the list will just go on and on and on. The flesh takes our physical body and it makes it a vehicle for the expression of sensual sin. And in this world today, we've got to protect our children. Now, you heard me mention AI this morning. There are things that are going on when our children are on a computer, and they're looking at images or they're looking at things they ought not to be looking at, and they think they're talking to a real person. They're talking to a virtual machine is all they're talking to. They think they're having a relationship with something that's real, and the reality is they're having a relationship with something that is unholy and unreal, something that can never satisfy them. You know what it's leading most young people to do? Take their own lives. You got to watch what you put in your mind. You got to watch what you listen to, what you look at, because this old flesh, we've all got it. This old flesh will take our body and make it do something we never intended it to do, make us act in a way we never intended to act, make us behave and do things that we never thought we'd do. That's what the flesh does. It makes our bodies a vehicle for the expression of sensual sin. And then the third enemy we have is our infernal enemy, the devil. Where does he war? Where does old Satan come against you? Most people think he comes against the body, but that's not the case at all. The devil comes at you primarily in the area of your spirit. Remember, our spirit lets us know the spiritual world above us. Who's up above us? God is. Our spirit is that part of us that allows us to know and to worship God. And us worshiping God is the one thing the devil does not want us to do. And so the devil continually works to drive a wedge between us and God. But understand that this is devil is not against religion and manners. Oh, the devil loves religion. He just as soon send somebody to hell from a pew as from a gutter. If you're going to overcome temptation, don't you think it would be important to be able to answer the question, where are you tempted? Now here's what I know. Every one of us knows ourselves well enough to know where we're weak. Every one of us knows ourselves well enough to know those things we have fallen to in the past. And without a doubt, we've either fallen in our soul, in our spirit, or in our body. And we've got a weak point. And the devil knows all about it. And he's going to come at your spirit because he wants you to worship him. Now, God has given us his word here. He wants us to understand that temptation is a real thing. We began this thing here. Wherefore, him that thinks he stands, take heed lest he what? Fall. And then the Bible says, there had no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will enable you to bear it and will also provide a way out. But you know, a lot of people just go blindly through life, don't they? You know somebody who keeps committing the same sin over and over and over again? And they're sorry that they committed it. And I do believe that when they confess it, that God does forgive them. But then they get up and they do the same thing all over again. Well, what happened? That's a person who doesn't understand where they're tempted. That's a person who doesn't understand their weakness. That's a person who's not taking heed. And that's the reason they keep falling. Now, I'll say this again. I mentioned this before. Every one of us knows a time in our life when we were extremely tempted. How many of you saw the way out of that thing and then you made a choice? You either decided to continue in, but God, the door was open, you could have got out. You saw it. You might need to think about that, but I'll guarantee you that's true. And the reason it's true is because the Bible says it's true. None of us sins by accident. We all make a choice to sin. That's why the Bible says we are without excuse. And so, God has given us his word here. To help us understand our seat of temptation. So that we might overcome our temptation. In the power of God's wisdom, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might what? Friend, if you don't hide God's word in your heart, you're easy prey for the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And you know the easiest people to devour are those who don't know what God's word says. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Then the second thing, I don't want to think I stand, because when I think I'm all in, a box of rocks and all that, guess what? I'm on my way down. We're not all that. We're all capable of sinning. We're all capable of falling to temptation. And we all have a weak point. It's either in our body, in our soul, or in our spirit, but Satan knows you better than you know yourself. And he's going to come at you. And he's going to use the world system, or he's going to use your flesh, or he's going to attack you in your spirit. And that's the way he works. He's worked that way from the Garden of Eden on when he first came to Eve. And so God has given us his word. Now why does God give us the word? Why should we come to church if we don't want to know what God's word says? And we come to church, I hope, so that we can grow, so that we can learn, so that we can understand this world in which we're living, so that we can be victorious for the glory of God and for our good. And God wants to help us. God wants to enable us to overcome our seat of temptation. But unless we stop and consider where it is that we are tempted, we are never going to know how to ask God to help us overcome our temptation. So my hope and my prayer for all is that we will take God at his word and think about what God has shared with us tonight so that we can be what God created us to be. Overcomers. That's what God created you to be. An overcomer. And he's provided the means. That cross. We are overcomers through the blood of the Lamb, the Bible tells us, and the word of our testimony. You know, there used to be a time when testimonies were shared. There used to be a time when people would share what God was doing in their life just in common conversation, wasn't there? There used to be a time when church people would leave the church house and go out and tell people what God was doing in the church house. Sadly, we have so many people today, if you will, Christians, who have fallen in sin and have allowed Satan to close their mouths. They think, if someone knew what I did, they would think I'm just a horrible person. No. If you confess that sin, who has forgiven you of that sin? God did. That's a testimony. Yes, I fell. But God lifted me up. He put my feet on a rock. He put a new song in my mouth, my word of testimony. Beyond that, he sent me to you here tonight. Or whatever the situation might be. Because you see, you've gone through things in your life because God wants to use you to help someone else who's going through what you've just went through. And when you share what God has done to help you get through that thing, that's a testimony. And you know what testimonies do? They strengthen others. But you know what else the testimonies do? They keep Satan far away from you. Because what are you doing when you testify? Draw near to God, and the devil will what? You're just telling that old devil, take a hike. You got no part in my life. Friends, we got to remember, the best person on earth is a blood-washed saint, is a blood-washed sinner who's been made a saint, who's been given a testimony. Now let me ask you a question tonight. Who would you want to come and minister to you if this was your situation? I'm going to use a hypothetical situation. Some of you may have already been through it, so it might not be hypothetical to you. I've lost my mother. Well, I haven't lost Mama. She's just home in heaven. She got an early rapture date. But I'm not, my father has not gone home to heaven yet. Well, who do you want to come minister to you if your father was to pass away? Someone whose father has passed away or someone whose father hasn't? If you've overcome a major disease, maybe cancer, but now you hear someone else is going through cancer. But I've never been through cancer. Who do you want to come and see you? The person who's been through it? Or the old preacher who hadn't been through it? Whose word is going to help you more? Somebody who's been on the journey or somebody who hadn't even been there? That's a testimony. Testimonies aren't only what the people standing up in church and shouting, hey, amen. No, testimonies are those things that God has gotten you through that you are sharing with somebody else. And God is using you. And the reason you went through what you went through is because God put his hand on you, because he has in mind for you to minister to someone whom he's going to bring into your path. That's a testimony, friend. And when you use your testimony, and you remember you've been washed in the blood, and you remember there isn't a perfect person in this world, you're sending Satan far away from you. You're strengthening your faith, but you're also glorifying the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We need to get back to the old-time religion, amen? Now, I tell you, this world's never going to get put straight, and churches are never going to get strengthened until God's people get to remembering that I'm an overcomer. I've overcome sin in this world and Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. And if God will do that for me, guess what? He's going to do it for you too. And God has someone that he wants you to minister to. So this week, you go out and minister to somebody that God would want you to minister to, and you'd be looking for that divine appointment. I think half the problem in the world today is we Christians aren't looking for those divine appointments that God sends across our path every single day. Well, we're out of time. And though I could preach all night, I probably best not. Brother Marty, would you and Tammy come and close us tonight? The solid rock. Father, tonight, if you've spoken, and I believe that you have, I pray that we've had an ear to hear. And Lord, tonight, without a doubt, there are people in our life whom we are greatly concerned about. There are perhaps members of our family or friends who are carrying and going through a tremendous, tremendous burden right now. There may be members in our family who are not yet saved, maybe friends who are not yet saved. And there may be somebody in our life that you'd asked us to speak to and we didn't, and Lord, every day provides a new opportunity, and maybe we just need to pray about how we're going to open the conversation and take the initiative and go out and share our testimony. Tonight, as we sing this invitational song, if you have a burden for someone, whether they're lost or they're just carrying a burden, if you need God's wisdom, whatever the need might be, as we sing, would you just come and pray for that person tonight? God hears prayers. God answers our prayers. And our God is a faithful God. And we pray this tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.